Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Derek Felix here of the Hard Hits Network. A special edition here, Friday, late Friday evening into Saturday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and I decided to do a hockey podcast. Why? Why would I do a hockey podcast at 3 in the morning? Well, maybe because I'm out of my mind. I certainly have gotten that plenty from my friends, including JPG, or Far East PG, as I like to call him, because he's in Taiwan, and from Dan Wheeler, who says I am the master button pusher, and not him, and from Brian Sanhorn, and from pretty much everybody. So here I am, though, on the Hard Hits Network, and we're doing a special hockey podcast. And I can't contain my excitement. And I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why we're doing this. Number one, I didn't do anything on it earlier, and I probably should have, because I guessed it on Madison Miller's podcast over on Anchor, where she had George Brew from What's Brewing, and he's probably going to be doing a show on Saturday evening. I'll be part of that, and you can catch that on the What's Brewing Network on Blog Talk Radio, just like you could catch Hard Hits here on the Hard Hits Network on Block Talk Radio. So I gave some thoughts about my excitement about the New York Rangers winning the NHL lottery, something I did not think would happen, something that I gave no thought to, something that I was so disinterested in because of the way they set it up. I just decided, you know what? Once the Penguins, the Maple Leafs, because they're the Maple Leafs, who else would choke after a miraculous 3-goal comeback like they did and pull that game out in overtime like they did against Columbus and then lose and get shut out by Jonas Korpisalo in Game 5. And once you have the Oilers, Penguins, and Maple Leafs, the doomsday scenario, those three teams in that lottery, I was dreading it. And I was just like, why should I watch? I didn't watch the first part because, I'll be honest, as huge a Ranger fan as I am, and you know, I do have a blog, hockey blog that I share with Hassan Alaverde, a huge Devils fan. It's called the Battle of Hudson. So he takes the Devils, I take the Rangers, and sometimes I'll do some NHL stuff too, since there's a lot of interesting stuff going on with the playoffs, and I will provide some updates occasionally. I wrote about the 5 overtime classic game between Columbus and and the Lightning. That was a classic game. Oh wow, Korpisalo 85 saves. Are you kidding? And yeah, I put a lot of Rangers stuff in since this whole thing happened. When I vowed not to watch the first part, I think it was more that I just didn't feel like watching it. And they had that drawing, I think, on June 26th, on a Friday. And I just was like, I'm not going to watch. I'll just let our core of people in our chat room, our Facebook Messenger chat room, would be Brian, John, Dan, Colin, Robert, Craze Davis, my brother Justin, Madison. I just decided to let them fill me in on what was happening. And I just decided to do it that way. When I heard that none of the teams that were actually part of the expanded format, as I like to call it, the play-in phase, won the first overall pick for Alexis Lafreniere, who is the kid from Quebec, a French-Canadian kid with a lot of scoring ability, immense talent, a MVP of Canada's gold medal World Junior Championship team, and I watched plenty of that, and he was great. And he is a left wing. He's not a center. I just thought the Ottawa Senators, I felt bad for the Ottawa Senators. I was like, well, that's a team that probably should have won. They had 2 shots in there because they had the Sharks pick with Eric Carlson that had their own pick. I did not feel bad for the Detroit Red Wings because they did not field the competitive roster when you only have like 42 points or whatever. I didn't feel bad for them whatsoever. But I also thought, well, you mean to tell me that a play-in team who gets eliminated, a lucky loser, is going to wind up with Lafreniere? And not in my wildest dreams did I ever imagine that the New York Rangers ball would come up. And I also, here was my other thought process, aside from the fact that I was worried about the doomsday scenario with the Maple Leafs, the Penguins, and the Oilers, teams that have been rewarded before, and just the kind of teams that you just don't want to see win, that I didn't want to have any interest in seeing them win this thing. I would have been okay. I said I would have been okay if it was like Minnesota or Nashville or Winnipeg. I wasn't even thinking. The thought of the Rangers winning this lottery and getting the number one pick overall, like I said, it didn't cross my mind. The New York Rangers only had a first pick once, top pick once, and that was in 1965. And the player they chose never even played a game because of an injury. And he was also French-Canadian. But this is going to be different. It will be different. I know that much. I've seen Lafreniere. I'm very impressed with him and his maturity and how he gets involved. And he has dynamic talent. Now, here's what I'll say. While I didn't think what they did was the right thing, the NHL, this is what the NHL hierarchy decided to do. I was on board. Once I started to come around on the play-in phase, I understood why they went that direction, and they've had the best bubble, and they've done a great job. So I give Gary Bettman a ton of credit. Now, I don't know how they decided to come up with the draft format they did, where they would do two parts, and somehow part two would actually wind up deciding who would get the top pick, which was the odds were each team had a 2.5% for this happening, the teams that would be eliminated, the eight teams from the actual Stanley Cup Week 16 tournament. So I really believe that Montreal, if they had lost the Penguins, that would have been the perfect fit. Kid from Quebec, French Canadian, Alexis Lafreniere, something that the Canadians could use. I thought if they got eliminated, they'd win. When Carey Price played the way he did and the Canadians upset the Pens, I was just, God almighty. You know, between the Pens were the top team I did not want to see win this thing. Look, they've gotten Crosby. They needed him, and it saved them, and they won three cup sets. And they also wound up, of course, with Malkin the year before. So, yeah, it worked out pretty well for the Pens. And I didn't want to see the Pens relocate to Kansas City. So, the Leafs. The Leafs, they got Austin Matthews, right? They have Mitch Marner. They have John Tavares, who they way overpaid. And they have William Nylander. They have all these fancy players. Why the heck would they need Alexis Lafreniere when they have no defense and they have no goalie? Goaltending. Well, Frederick Anderson's not a bad goalie. He's got 1 year left. And they need to start fixing the other areas. Would they have even kept it? And the Oilers. How many times do you need to see the Oilers win a lottery? Exactly. So, I mean, really. Taylor Hall was one, and then they decided to give him away for Adam Larson. Although Adam Larson, the Oilers definitely missed him because he was hurt in their plan when they got eliminated by the Blackhawks in 4 games. Larry Brooks was right about something. Holy fucking shit. I just cursed. No offense. I only got 2 out of 8 series right. Yeah, so that was great. It was brilliant. I picked the Rangers to beat the Hurricanes in 5. I saw it playing out differently, and the Hurricanes were just, they just showed so much depth and so much experience, and they played great, and Sebastian Aho was awesome and took the Rangers apart, and Svechnikov had his hat trick, and Teravainen did his thing, and Peter Mrazek and James Reimer were brilliant, and James Reimer continues his story by playing real well in the Hurricanes' victory their 1-0 victory, 3-2 over the Bruins in Game 2, after the first game went to overtime, which was won by Mr. Clutch himself, Patrice Bergeron. That series is 1-1, and they're going to have a very early start for Game 3, I believe. Or is that the Blue Jackets? Yeah, or is it the Blue Jackets Lightning? Yeah. So I'm very curious to see what happens with Game 3 of both of those series. Blue Jackets against the Lightning, where I don't know why the Lightning are tied after that 5-0 overtime thing. I thought Blue Jackets would be tired, and I didn't think they could actually win Game 2. I didn't even watch it. And I was shocked, and Korpisalo played another really great game. So give the Blue Jackets, give Tortorella a lot of credit. Bruins, Hurricanes, I'm locked into because I think that's the best series. I think you got two great skating teams. I think you got two teams with similar skill sets. Bruins might have a little more skill. Bruins without Pasternak right now. I don't know if he's playing later today, this afternoon, but I will say, how do you get injured on a goal celebration where he helped set up the winner and he pumped his fist and then immediately something was bothering him. And it was very strange. So I don't know what the deal is there, but I will say the Bruins without Pasternak, that hurts them a lot. So, but the Hurricanes played a really good Game 2, and Game 2 was a really good game. This was Game 1, and Dougie Hamilton with the perfect laser top cheese over to Tukaras, who got into his butterfly. And Hamilton then ices the puck with 13 and a half seconds left, and it nearly bit them in the ass. But Reimer able to come through, delivered a big game, and that's a 1-1 series. Now, Alexis Lafreniere, I want to talk a little about him here. The next couple of minutes. He's a left wing. He is a great skater, electric skater, playmaking guy, a guy who could score his goals. He can set up teammates. He's got great vision. The skating, the way he can forecheck also, he's not afraid to take the body. This is the kind of player that the New York Rangers have lacked for a long time. So, look, do they need a center? Yes, they do. They're going to need a number two center. Do they have a number two center? Right now, they don't. Ryan Strome was a temporary fit, and he got to play with Artemi Panarin, and Jesper Fast got to play with Artemi Panarin, and Strome had a great year. Strome is a restricted free agent who probably will command about $5 million. If he's willing to accept a one-year $5 million deal and play it out, maybe he'll be back. If not, maybe the New York Rangers decide, he did a great job, and let's move on. The New York Rangers are going to have some very interesting decisions to make this offseason. Jesper Fast is an unrestricted free agent, and once Jesper Fast went down on a clean Brady Shea hit, they were not the same team. And on that same opening shift, that set the tone with that hit by Brady Shea, of all people, and he had a good series. I give him credit. He's not a top-tier guy. He's a top four. And the Rangers deserve criticism for how they evaluate players, including Ryan Graves, who they never give a chance. And Ryan Graves, what is Ryan Graves doing? Oh, that's right. He's paired with Kale McCarr, who should – I think he deserves to win the Calder. I don't know if he got it or not, but I would give it to him over Quinn Hughes. So I think he's a little bit – he's better. Well, Quinn Hughes is dynamic. The play that he made – where he made a couple of good subtle defensive plays behind his net, and he makes this unbelievable outlet, a banked outlet that catches the Blues and leads to Bo Horvat, Mr. Captain. He's becoming Mr. Clutch. Breakaway, he just fires a quick wrister through Binnington, and Horvat puts Canucks up 2-0 against the defending champions who are on the ropes. And uses dynamic offensively. I don't know. I don't think he's great defensively. And they did not use Quinn Hughes down the stretch trying to hold on to that 1-goal lead. And they sat back a little too much. And sure enough, the Blues found a way to tie it. Great deflection by David Perron, who always has been good on the Blues. And I couldn't believe they called it a high stick. I mean, there was no way it was. And also, the replay did show that after it was directed. It did actually go off Jaden Schwartz's leg, so it was actually Schwartz from Perron. And I think, who took the shot? I think it was Pia Trangaleo. So that was unbelievable. I thought the Blues were going to pull it out after that. But I did think that if the Blues won, they were going to do it with will, whereas the Canucks, if they were going to win, they were going to do it for skill, which means I felt if the Canucks were going to win, they were going to use their skill and maybe score off the rush. That's exactly what I thought, and that's exactly how it turned out. Blues were going to try to do it with will by winning those battles, board battles, and getting in front and packing it in against Jacob Markstrom. And that's the difference between the teams. But the Canucks were one team the Blues did not want to see. Canucks have skill, and they do have some grit. And I'll tell you, Chris Tanev has grown on me as a player. He makes a lot of subtle, good defensive plays. And Alex Edler, he's still there. He's the one guy that's left from that AV team, and the guy's got a ton of heart. So you have to give the Canucks a lot of credit. And guys like Jay Beagle and Brandon Sutter have really been very overlooked and underrated, appreciated players. Antoine Roussel, who I liked, I wouldn't have minded on the New York Rangers, but they paid a little more than the Rangers could afford. As far as Lafreniere, look, you got the first overall pick on October 9th. You take the best player. I know all about Quentin Byfield. I know he's going to be a really good center. And the Rangers are going to need a center. I understand. But you would have to get blown away to trade that pick. And there's no reason to. You have the chance to get a cornerstone guy, a guy that you can build around, a guy that won't have the language barrier issue that Capo has, a guy who can really skate and fly, something that Capo needs to work on. And once Capo Caco got sat down, I have faith that Capo Caco will be a big finisher for the New York Rangers. I'm not even worried about that. I think he will hit those 30 to 35, 40 goals. He should be a big finisher. Now, imagine Capo playing with Lafreniere on the left, and I don't know who will be in the middle. If Lapido is a center, we don't even know if he is. These are questions for the Ranger management, for John Davidson, or Jim Gordon. Did I say Jim Gordon? Jeff Gordon. I'm thinking of Gotham. And for even our coach, David Quinn, to assess. They have to assess all these things. Does a Pavel Buchnevich stay with the club? Consider making a trade for a center, or are they just going to play it out and continue to rebuild? They say they're fully committed to this rebuild, but you never know. It could be a smokescreen. I'm very curious. I'm very excited about the offseason, obviously, with this happening. I did not expect it. And it was so unexpected that when everybody in the chat room said that the Rangers won, I thought they were pulling my leg for sure. Dan always likes to play jokes, and we're always pushing each other's buttons. And Brian was saying it, and everybody was laughing, so I didn't know if they were serious or not. I didn't know. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And it wasn't until my brother, Justin, my brother said he watched it. He said, Derek, they won the lottery. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I did not get excited. I didn't jump up and go crazy because I didn't watch it. I just was shocked by it. And then I cut off a blog post on it on our website, our blog. That is newyorkpuck.com. You can check out any of our posts up there. And I think I'm going to upgrade so we don't have any more of those ads. I think I'm going to upgrade. So keep an eye out for that. www.newyorkpuck.com, and you can check us out. I might switch it to Battle of Hudson. I don't know. I might, and I might not. I don't know. New York Puck's actually a pretty good name, so maybe I should just keep it the way it is. But it's pretty exciting. I'm not going to lie. When you have some of the pieces they do, and I haven't even mentioned Vitaly Krasov, who Quinn should have played in the elimination game in Game 3. Geez, what are you doing? Just give the kid an experience instead of playing Gaudier less than 4 minutes and 4 shifts. What a joke that was. But we got Krasov also. And he would be attracted to what? He made the team be a third liner. I mean, you could have a real third line. You know, if Ryan Strom stays and Jasper Fast stays and you have Krasov, that could be your third line. Or maybe it's Brendan Lemieux. I mean, who Well, Brendan Lemieux, I'm still holding out hope that he does get it and he learns that he can only play one way and he has to, the man is agitating the opponents, getting them to draw the reactions and continuing to, and being a pest. Then he could be trusted in a role where he plays between 10 and 12, 13 minutes. So whether it's third line or preferably fourth line, I think he could play some third and fourth line and penalty kill. That's what I want to see from Brendan Lemieux if he's back. And I think they'll probably keep him because it's not going to cost a lot. But when you have some of these pieces, Adam Fox, a future, I think he's a future top 25 defenseman when you look at the talent. Ryan Lindgren, a guy that just seems to know how to play the game. Good enough skater, good defensively, perfect with Adam Fox. They've teamed up since juniors. They play with for Team USA. Tony DeAngelo is an interesting decision for the New York Rangers. I'm sure they'd love to keep him. Tony D has to understand that he is not going to get a long-term contract. If he's willing to take a around $5 million on average for, say, either 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, I think 3 for $15 million, you do it. Okay, I would do that. But I don't want to get, you don't give out a long-term contract when you know you have Nils Lundqvist coming. So maybe but it's up to Tony D. And Tony D is always active on his social media account on Twitter. And look, maybe not everybody agrees with his politics, but you know what? I really like some of the things that he's tweeted out lately, especially about the 9/11, where they weren't going to do the lighting basically to acknowledge the victims. And then it looks like Tunnels to Towers Foundation is stepping up and they are going to make sure that they get this done. And that's great thing. And, you know, they were trying to make excuses for the pandemic and that's just ridiculous. That's just political crap from the idiot mayor. As I like to call him de Blasio because he's such a hypocrite. Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, 9/11 means everything to this city and it's an emotional day for Americans and it should be a national holiday. And it didn't just affect people here in New York, New Jersey area. It affected people in the nation's capital. It affected people in Pennsylvania. So remember that. And it affects everybody who's an American. That was the best of us. The worst of times was the best of us. And I love what Tony D said. And Tony D, he made sure to also link up something about unbelievable. A 5-year-old girl was shot and killed by a black neighbor in North Carolina, white girl, and had her whole life in front of her. And Tony D signed the GoFundMe and he's spreading the right message. And I wish more people were like that. You know, Tony D, I think, is a good guy. And maybe he is a Trumpster, but that's his prerogative. But politics, there's too much with politics, so I don't want to make this political. This is a hockey podcast. So I want to say a couple other things here that I've noticed. In Lafreniere, the excitement is very palpable. A couple of things on the playoffs. We're seeing some upsets. We saw the Oilers go out. They were exposed, and they need to really fix their defense. Darnell Nurse not getting it done. Another is Oscar Klefbom. He's like a traffic cone. And you can have Connor McDavid. You can have Draisaitl win the Hart Trophy. You can have Nugent Hopkins, who had a great playoff, great preliminary, along with Connor McDavid. They had 8 or 9 points, and Draisaitl had 6. But they've got to fix the rest of your team. You have to have supporting cast. New York Rangers got exposed. Their top-tier guys, Panarin and Mika, were shut down. And Kreider was a little bit quiet. And Carolina got the Rangers off their game with that hit by Brady Shea, coincidentally. And Kreider admitted it. He said that they played blood sport, and they were out-hitting them. And that's not how they play. And their supported cast wasn't good enough. And these were concerns going in, and Kapo played better in the series, but he didn't score. And Hedl showed some signs, but he didn't score. And Halladin had a good series, but they didn't put up points. These are the guys that you need to develop. They need these guys to, they're going to be key contributors. I don't know if they're going to be a playoff team next year. And Igor got his experience. It wasn't the easy, it wasn't the most fun thing after he missed the first two games, and Lundqvist played probably his final games as a Ranger, and I don't have enough time to talk about that. But Igor played a solid game three, but Sebastian Aho undressed Tony DeAngelo, who's not good defensively, and he played through a little bit of a hamstring issue, and it showed. And he was terrible in the series, and Mark Stahl was his partner, so he got victimized too. But it was just a rough series overall. So, and Adam Fox didn't put up a point either, and Fox was better on game three. So there are promising signs. Now, in terms of Carolina, you have to give full credit to Rob Brind'Amour. He's a really good coach, and that was a reason why they were an Eastern Conference final team. And I was tempted to take them. I should have took them. I should have seen it coming. I thought it would be a lot closer. I thought it would be a five-game series. And maybe I was just blindsided. But look at the Pens. They lost to the Canadiens. You know why the Canadiens beat them? You know, not only did they have the better goalie, but they were grittier. They were scrappier. And somebody made a point that the skill teams take a little more time to gel. And you're seeing that a little bit. There is a point to that when you look at the Pens getting eliminated, when you look at the Oilers going right out, how about the Bruins? They're not exactly scoring a lot of goals. The Lightning, they're struggling to score goals against Korpisalo, and they've got Kucherov. They still have Braden Point. They have Palat. That's a great first line. Without Stamkos, they got Hedman, Lockin, Big Miss. How many minutes did he play in that five overtime crazy game? Seth Jones played more beta 7. Seth Jones is a top three defenseman, okay? And Zach Werenski played over 60 beta along with Seth Jones. It was insane. The Lightning still have enough weapons, and they are gritty enough. So there's a lot of pressure on the Lightning here. I mean, if the Lightning don't beat the Blue Jackets this time around, they got to break up that team. They got to make changes. They might have to fire John Cooper, and I don't think John Cooper's a bad coach by any stretch, but you can't lose to the Blue Jackets. There's no Panarin this year. There's no Duchesne. They do have Bjorkstrand. They have Pierre-Luc Dubois, who they did a great job shadowing in the overtime periods after he had a goal and assist. But the Boone Jenner's, you know, he's good on faceoffs, but he has his own hands. Nick Foligno's, they're not going to put up a lot of points. Cam Atkinson missed game two. You got to win that game. So this game three is a pretty big game. The Bruins and Hurricanes, I think those are two really evenly matched teams. One really good move by Brind'Amour, deciding to put Svechnikov on his quote-unquote second scoring line with Martin Nekas. And Nekas rewarded them. Svechnikov scored a goal, and when they scored two straight goals to go from down 1-0 to up 2-1. And Nekas recorded two assists. That was a really good move. I wonder if they'll continue that. So Jordan Staal, Justin Williams, there's not getting enough really from Justin Williams, but that's probably on his last legs. He is 38. He is Mr. Clutch. I do expect him to show up at some point. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. They made some changes, too, to their blue line. Dougie Hamilton is back, of course. Sammy Vatanen was back in their lineup. They took Joel Edmondson out. I don't know if he had an injury. And Trevor Van Riemsdyk got back in for Jake Gardner, who was not all that great defensively. So Brind'Amour is not afraid to use his depth and to put people in that he hasn't used. So I have to give Brind'Amour a lot of credit. I'm real curious to see two things. Is Pastrnak going to be able to play game three for Bruins? And second thing, which goalie does Rod Brind'Amour go with here? Does he stick with James Reimer, who the team seems to play well in front of? And Reimer's delivered some really good performances. Where does he go from Mrazek? I mean, he trusts both goalies. I'm very curious. Will he stick with Reimer? So those are question marks. Those are some questions to look at. Islanders are looking good so far against the Caps. Here's the deal with the Caps. They lost Nicholas Backstrom to an early hit, and then they decided to fight the Islanders. And they had all these power plays. They almost gave them every chance in game one, but they didn't take advantage of it. And the Islanders are a team that grinds you to death. I think the break really benefited them because they looked like they were out of gas in March, in mid-March, and looked like they were going to miss the playoffs. I would have bet the house. Not the house, but I would have put a few bucks down that they missed the playoffs. Because that grinding style on their traps, I mean, they're kind of like the Devils, like the old Lou Amarillo Devils, except they got trapped there, and Brock Nelson, you're seeing Anthony Bovilli develop into huge players. They're scoring big goals, and Anders Lee, even though he doesn't score 40 anymore, Anders Lee is a good captain. He's perfect for that team, and I like the way they're using Andy Green, too. You know, he's decided, Trotz, to use Andy Green over Johnny Boychuk, and their blue line's really good. When you start looking at Devon Toews and Nick Leddy, and then you start looking at Scott Mayfield and Ryan Pulock, they have a real deep blue line, and you could always plug Boychuk into your lineup if you want to. So, and their fourth line's contributing, because they do. Cal Clutterbuck scoring goals, Matt Martin scoring goals. Here's the thing about the New York Islanders. When they face a team that's better coached, because Todd Reardon cannot coach to save his butt, and that's not, you know, weak. And Ovechkin did get his two goals, and he missed getting a third goal that would have tied it on another power play. A team that's better at 5-on-5, it's probably going to be a lot harder for the Islanders to win. So, like last year when they ran into Carolina was better. They had the more skill. But does a grinding team like the Islanders have a chance? Well, maybe in this format they do. I don't know. I mean, it's very tough to say. But you have to give them credit. Varlamov's doing a good job so far. And Jordan Eberle scored a big goal, too, in their comfort behind win. And no excuse for the Cavs to blow a two-goal lead. And Eberle's goal was soft. It was a goal that Holtby shouldn't have allowed late in the second period. And that changed things, and the Islanders made their comeback. And Braden Holtby, I don't know what happened to him, because he was a Vezina winner. He had a good run where they won the Stanley Cup finally with Ovechkin, but he's just not the same goalie. And maybe he signs a one-year deal. Maybe he winds up with the Buffalo Sabres. That might be a good fit right there. Maybe he works with the other young goalie they have, or maybe he signs with Detroit Red Wings. That could be a good fit. But he's not going to get more than 1 year, probably, or two at tops. So, I saw some criticism from Scotty Wasilski of the Face Off Hockey Show, saying that they should have played this kid. I think his name is McMichael. He's a first-round draft pick the Caps took maybe 2019. And he had a really good 7 points, 2 goals, 5 assists, a point a game for Canada in the same tournament as Lafreniere, that they won the gold medal, first one in a while. Why not play him? Because you don't have Backstrom. Why not see what the kid could do? Now, if Samsonov was healthy, I would bet they would go to Samsonov. I don't think they're going to take Holtby out and put an unproven check-in that I've never heard of, that's 24. I don't think they would do that, but I agree if Scotty was. Let the 19-year-old play, see what he could do. And that was one of my gripes with Quinn, not using Kravtsov. He should have played him in game three. I don't care if it was for 8-9 minutes and he gets a little power play. They should have used him. That would have been better. And the Rangers were more competitive in game three, even though they wound up losing and played a lousy third period and the Hurricanes periods came through. Well, Western Conference. Right now, the Vegas Golden Knights are looking really tough. And the thing is that even though they wiped the floor with the Blackhawks in the first game, the Blackhawks are not good defensively, you know that. Blackhawks gave them a great game, too. They really gave them a good fight. Dylan Strome scored a goal, and they played very well. And Dylan Strome was this close, hits a crossbar early in that sudden death. But it wasn't meant to be, and Vegas then just took control, and the Blackhawks somehow just leave Raleigh Smith wide open for an easy one-timer in front. How do you leave a guy that open, basically 14 feet from the net? And Taves was out there, and I don't know which defenseman was caught out of there, but it was terrible. It was brutal. So Look, Vegas is a legit threat here. Colorado's looking good so far. They won the first. They've taken first two games from the Arizona Coyotes, who did a great job against Nashville. And Kemper gave them a chance to beat the Colorado Avalanche after they were uncompetitive in game one. And it wasn't until Colorado erupted for 3 goals in like a minute and a half span that where Kadri scored, and then they got another goal less than a minute apart, and then they got another goal that they wound up pulling away. And Taka was very critical of his team, and they were a lot more competitive in this second game. Michael Grabner tied the game up at 2, and then Colorado got a bounce. They got a bounce, and that proved to be the game winner. It went to Redden, and he scored about 2:55 or so to go, and Colorado pulls out game 2, and they're up 2-0 against the Coyotes. I thought the Coyotes could give them a series, but I think McKinnon is showing why he's all-world. He's making plays. He's scoring goals. He's setting up goals. He's being Nathan McKinnon, and that's why he's one of the top 5 players in hockey. I love Nathan McKinnon, and I'm a huge fan of him. So, and he's looking great. And Colorado, as long as they get good goaltending from Grubauer, they're going to be tough out. I did have them beating the Blues in the second round. I was very tempted to pick the Canucks because I knew the Canucks would be a problem for the Blues. And I give the Blues full credit for how they came back. And I knew they were going to come back because Vancouver was sitting back a little too much. But the bottom line is this. Right now, Markstrom is outplaying Bennington. And that Canucks skill, JT Miller looks like a different player, and I'm very happy for him for how he's played. So far, JT Miller is playing very well. And he fits perfectly there with Pettersson and Brock Besser. But I like the way they run their power play through JT. JT could be the net front presence. He could also be a guy that he's a guy that's a creator. So, but he's not afraid now to take shots or go to the right areas to score. So, and he's producing, and I'm very happy to see that. And he learned a valuable lesson when he got traded from the Rangers when the Lightning gave up on him. He realized that he needed to get more serious. And if some players have to learn the hard way, and I'm very happy to see JT Miller doing what he's doing. Quinn Hughes is just dynamic. He's 19 years old, going on 20. He's going to either be rookie of the year or runner-up. The skating and the offense and the passing that he can create, it's like the left-handed version of Erik Karlsson, what he can do. That's what you're looking at. The hype was real. He dropped to 7th or 8th and fell to the Canucks. That's a big break for them, I think. I think they got a huge break. And I can't say enough about Bo Horvat. What a leader he is. I got to give Brian Sehorn credit. He felt it right away. When the Devils gave up their first round pick for Corey Schneider, he said, he would not have done it. But I thought it was the right move because they were going to have to move on from Marty back then when they made that trade. And it just didn't work out the way they envisioned. Corey played well his first couple of years, but they never won any of his starts. It was the strangest thing. They didn't give him any offensive support. It was very strange. And Corey, I think, Scotty, for another year on his contract, he might have one more year or two at 5-something. But I think Corey had some bad luck. He ran into some injuries too. But Brian was right. And look at Bo Horvat, and you watch the way he just makes players better. You look at the speed that he has. You look at the defensive responsibility with each that he plays, the penalty killing. He's just unbelievable. He's great on breakaways. He had guys trailing him, but it didn't let it affect him. Once he got in on the clear, I knew he was going to score. He didn't make any deeks. He just went wrist shot simple, beat Bennington, and the Canucks rebounded from blowing a 3-1 lead to give the Blues a blow. And they're going to be down 2-0. You know, there aren't any fans. Not like the series is shifting to Vancouver, but the defending champs now have to win 4 out of the next 5 to survive and get out of the first round. And I had this series going 7, and it could still go 7. The Blues have enough chips. Ryan O'Reilly scored a power play goal on an iffy call on Jay Beagle, where he got an extra minor after Sammy Blais put one of his teammates from behind. The numbers. So Beagle stepped up. So what they do, they gave Beagle the reaction, and then they gave each guy 2 each for roughing. So, and I think that's what Beagle say, like, so Beagle was chatting with Sammy Blais about that. Sammy Blais just does his job, and Sammy Blais actually scored a huge goal in this game to get this thing to where it was. But I'll tell you what, Tarasenko, his skating is coming back, but I'm not sure about the shooting part of it. He looked much better in game 2. Remember, he had shoulder surgery. He missed most of the regular season. He hasn't shot the puck a lot. So that tells me he may not be fully healthy and fully recovered from shoulder surgery. Here's another thing. The Blues, and they have plenty of personnel, they're not using Tarasenko on the first power play unit. They are featuring Ryan O'Reilly, of course, who won the Conn Smythe last year, Braden Schenn, David Perron, who is just, he's deadly from that left point there, or left circle, where he could one time with that right-handed shot. And he was terrific last night's game with a power play goal and an assist on that beautiful redirect deflection that did go off Jaden Schwartz. They have Jaden Schwartz, and I think they're using one defense, but I think it's Alex Pietrangelo who they can feature. Yeah, they have Justin Falk also, who they could feature on the second one. But so that just tells me that Tarasenko can't be fully healthy if they're not using him on the first unit. Yeah, then yeah, there's something still wrong. So they're in trouble. Couple other thoughts. Cam Talbot with a 35 save shutout. Kudos to Cam Talbot. They went with him in the back-to-back, and that was the right thing to do. Now, the Flames wasted a great comfort-behind effort. They rallied from 4-2 down with 8.5 minutes left in game 2, and this was a quick turnaround. They tie the game up. They get a shorthanded goal. They get a power play goal, and they had the game tied up. Sam Bennett with a deflection in front. But the start, they left Jamie Oleksiak, wide open with 39.5 seconds left, or 38 seconds left, for on the doorstep, and there's nothing Cam could do on that. And Stars pull out game 2, and it was even. Tonight, it was a little lower scoring. There was no Matthew Tkachuk. I don't even know how he came back in that game. I mean, it was obvious that he was in pain. He came back 3 times, but he's not playing game 3. And the Flames played more of a lower scoring game. So a little bit of surprise, a little bit of a curveball or off speed pitch there that you weren't expecting. A more tight checking game. You would expect that to favor the Stars. It didn't. As it was the Calgary Flames that prevailed 2-0. And great job by them. Yeah, they gave up more shots, and the Stars created opportunities, but I'll tell you, Cam made some really good saves down the stretch of that game. His rebound control was good, actually. There was a nice deflection where I thought maybe the Stars were going to score and make things interesting, but he held the fort, and good for Cam Talbot. He's getting another opportunity. He's been to the second round once. He did it with the Oilers when he won 42 games and just missed out on being in the top 3 for Vezina, while Carey Price just edged him out in the voting. Here's Cam Talbot, and Cam Talbot with his 3rd playoff career shutout and doing the job. So good story there. I took the Flames in the series. I think they're a little deeper. And I know there's questions in that, but you've already seen Dallas go back and forth with Khudobin and Bischoff and then back to Khudobin. I do think that the Stars are very capable, and they've gotten their chances, and Heiskanen scored a couple goals in their win, and Oleksiak, not really an offensive juggernaut, and they have Sagan. They need Sagan, Ben. They need those guys to come through, and along with Radulov. Those are the guys that need to start delivering for the Stars, and Rupi Hintz is another guy who I really like. So that the Stars are going to come from behind and make this a series. I think it's going to be six games. It could be 7 games. I think these teams are very closely matched. I don't think there's a lot of difference. Now, anything else I want to say about Carey Price? Yeah, I just want to say this. Carey Price is unbelievable. He really is. There are people out there who don't think he's a top five goalie anymore because he struggled, and people forget that he's played. They overuse him. He leaned so much on Carey Price, who is celebrating his 33rd birthday on Sunday, tomorrow. Happy birthday, happy early birthday to him. He leaned a lot on Shea Weber, who turned 35 on Friday. Happy birthday to him. And Shea Weber is still a top 20 defenseman. People forget that. And Shea Weber, I think Shea Weber was the MVP. As great as Price was against Pittsburgh, I think Shea Weber was the MVP of their 4-game win. That's how good he was. I think he was +4 or +5 going up against Crosby, going up against Gensel, maybe even Malkin. And Shea Weber scored a couple of goals in that series too. Shea Weber, he locks the big minutes. Petrie there for his offense, and he did a great job in that series, scoring 2 goals, including OT winner in game 1 to set the tone. They don't have a great defense. You know, Ben Chiarot, he's not bad, but your defense is not what I would say is great. But they're kind of doing it. They're finally getting more contributions from Max Domi. He had 2 or 3 assists in their blowout win today, yesterday. And that's you can't say enough about Montreal. Claude Julien, he is out for the rest of the series. The head coach, the veteran head coach who coached the Bruins to a Stanley Cup, and he's back with Montreal now. He's going up against Alain Vigneault. It's very strange, but dynamic. And now he did have chest pains, and you sure hope that's not serious. He's in the hospital, and it sounds like he's going to be okay. But I hope everything's okay for him. And Kirk Muller, the assistant coach, has taken over the team. Kirk Muller was on the 93 team, the last Canadian team, the Montreal Canadiens, that is, 93, to win the Stanley Cup. He's the assistant. He's coaching. And I just had a feeling Montreal played the Flyers tough in the first game, and Carter Hart was the difference. Carter Hart played very well against his idol, made some big saves in that game. But Montreal, they're using their speed, and they came out, and they were ready to play. Tatar scored early, setting the tone. Tatar scored 2 goals. And so that's one guy that you need to step up. Domi played a good game. And Kokaniemi, how about Jesperi Kokaniemi, a guy who had a terrible regular season, who struggled, who set down. He's up to 4 goals in the playoffs. And he scored a big goal on this one, a wrist shot. So you're having guys step up. And you give them full credit. And they won this one for their coach. And they were ready, and they were fired up, and they were ready to go. And 5-0 over the Flyers, who are one of the heavy favorites. A lot of people like them to get to the Stanley Cup final, including myself. My final is the Avalanche and Flyers. But I'll tell you what, Carey Price also made a couple of big saves. Yeah, Canadians diving all over the place, blocking shots, just making plays. Don't forget, they were a Suzuki crossbar away from forcing overtime in game 1. So maybe this is not going to be so easy for the Flyers. And the Flyers are not getting the scoring they need from their top guys. Guys like Claude Giroux, guys like Jake Voracek. Konechny hasn't really hit the score sheet, and he was their leading scorer. Sean Couturier, we know how good he is, and he might win the Selke this year. You know, they need their guys to step up. They have a defense that they can activate. Ivan Provorov, Travis Sanheim. Shane Gostisbehere played in the first 2 games. He might be a scratch next game because he got victimized in this game. And Gostisbehere is not good defensively. And Philly Myers is another underrated player on that defense. Maybe he's got all the ingredients. There's all these ingredients for these Flyers to change the script and to maybe win that first Stanley Cup before I was born. The last time they won was 1975 when they repeated as the Broad Street Bullies. There's a chance for them to flip the script. So we'll see what happens. And one storyline coming out of this game, Perkmuller apparently left his top power play unit out there late. And when you're 5-0, yeah, that kind of can rub the opponent the wrong way. AV was not too pleased with that. He said, you know, what's the point of having your top unit out there? There, you're up by 5 goals. You know, you don't want to insult the opponent or run it up. And I understood AV's point. He's done this before. Did it with the Canucks. And he probably did it with the Rangers too. And I understood AV. AV didn't say anything. I don't think he said anything bad. I think he was just making the point there. And Muller basically said he said he understood why they would feel that way. And he said he talked about how their power play wasn't good against Pittsburgh, and he just wanted to give his guys extra practice time. There's really not much preparation and practice time right now. Now, these teams are playing every other day, and there are back-to-backs at some point in each series. That's the way it is in the bubble. So I liked Kirk Muller's response, but I'm more interested and curious to see how the Flyers respond, how they're going to respond in Game 3. A little bit of adversity there. And I did give Montreal 2 games because I think they can compete in the series, and they're showing it. And I really like Nick Suzuki, and I think he's going to be a star. And I think the Flyers they're the heavier forechecking team. They're the teams that's going to get more shots through. They're the better defensively structured team. They've got the better depth. They have guys like Joel Farabee who got the winner in the 3-2 win in Game 1. AV is being trusting. But I'll tell you what, it's an interesting thing that's going on there. So I'm very excited about what I've seen so far out of the Hurricanes and the Bruins. That I think that's the best series of your real first round. And I'm very curious to see what happens, how the Lightning come out in this Game 3 against the Blue Jackets. They're really going to turn Korpisalo into Sergei Bobrovsky. And how vital is Seth Jones paired with Zach Werenski for John Tortorella as a matchup? And you know, in the first game, they had to go 5 overtimes, and it was, and they dominated most of them. And until Braden Point got the bounce and off a block shot off Gavrilikov. I apologize for mispronouncing, but it's exciting. And Point is a guy that I think is the best. He's the best Lightning forward, to be honest. Stamkos is more of a scorer. But, yeah, they could certainly use Stamkos on their power play. Are you kidding me? And Wenberg on dressing, Kevin Shattenkirk. Kevin Shattenkirk had one of those nightmare games. We've seen it before. Shattenkirk struggled with the Caps. And there was, and I remember being steadfast against the Rangers signing Shattenkirk because I saw him get exposed. And he was playing third pair, and he got exposed very similarly. And so he did take a discount. He wanted to come home. It just didn't work out. He was hurt right away, and he struggled. And it just didn't work out for him here. And he got bought out after a year or two. And I think the Lightning are a much better fit for him playing in that system there. But he had a very bad game. He had a very bad game, too. Lost the battle on another goal that was set up by Dubois behind the net. And then gets undressed by Alex Wenberg for the key insurance marker that made it 3-1. And the Blue Jackets take Game 2. So, but Shattenkirk, you know what Shattenkirk is. Shattenkirk's going to give you a lot of possession. You have, and you want to have him out for offensive draws. You want to have him out on the power play. You don't want him to be caught out there against, even though the Blue Jackets don't have a lot of scoring, you don't want him caught out there too much defensively. So I've been impressed with Mikhail Sergachev. He looks really good. And Hedman, of course, is doing his part. So that's about it. That's going to do it for this podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you all next time. Good night.